This is an oral history interview with Mr. Merlin R. Doggett, recorded by the East Carolina Manuscript Collection on October the 27th, 1971.
Went into Shanghai. And when they got to Shanghai, they became so interested in China that they decided they'd go up in the interior and see what they're really like in the interior.
So they went up to a city in the interior and rented a temple up there just to live in. All of these cities have temples.
And when I was strolling, walking around, found a cat.
Well, they had a few mice in this temple, so they picked up this cat, brought it back.
And being of legal mind, one brought up the subject, well, what part of the cat do you own?
And it wound up with one that he'd take the right front foot and the other one the left front foot and one the right hind foot and the other one the left leg at least. The cat got after a mouse and was chasing the mouse around the temple
and knocked over a lantern they had in there for light.
And it spread the kerosene oil all over the floor. And broke his leg. Broke the right foreleg.
So they took a little kerosene that was spilled down the floor and a little more from the lantern. And wrapped it up well, taped it up good with splints.
And then the cat, being a very good mouser, got after this rat, ran around for more. And knocked over another lantern there, and it caught a fire. And it spread all over the temple there. Wind came up high.
And the fire spread from the temple to the village, burned up several houses. Well, this little village, head man there, went to the Shin court and asked him if he could make them pay. He said, oh, yes. Bring them around, we'll have a trial. So he brought these four young men around there, and the trial proceeded as, more or less as I just told you, that the magistrate there of the Shin court asked this boy, said, you admit owning this right hind leg? He said, yes. And that's the one that is broke, taped up with kerosene. He said, yes, I owned it. And he said, well, the damage done to the temple in the city is very conservative at $100,000. So you'll have to pay $100,000. Now, all of these four young lawyers there were bright. So they asked this master there at the Shin court if he could appeal it. He said, oh yeah, go to the Fu court. So they appealed it to the Fu court. This judge listened to all the evidence. He asked each one which leg of the cat he owned. And when he got through, he looked at them all and he said, I tell you, that magistrate down at the Shin court, so he was right about one thing. The damage was $100,000. But this boy here that said he owned the broken leg, so he's innocent. If it hadn't been for the three good legs, the cat couldn't have run around over the temple. And if he hadn't run around over the temple, he wouldn't have set fire to it. And there wouldn't have been no damage done at all. But to you other three here, you can pay your $100,000. That's what Mr. Nixon kind of thinking he's going to run into when he gets over there, talking to Cho Ann Lai.
What was the course like in the legal problems for foreigners when you were there? What did you run into?
About the courts out there in China. It was at a time when our two countries had agreed that Americans could not be tried in Chinese courts. Those in the interior to be tried would be tried, if the Chinese wanted to, at the American consulates scattered all over the country. My experience out there, when one time I was accused in a court, and I asked them if they were accusing me in that court, and they said yes. So I got up immediately and told them that they did not have the authority to try me in that court, that our countries had agreed that could be tried at the American consulate only. And I left. I hadn't gotten very far out of court till they brought a Chinese there and the rickshaw all shuffled up. took him outside the road there as I was passing by. And they shot and killed him. I guess they're doing it for my benefit. I don't know.
Did you ever go into a consular court? Were you ever involved in anything that took you? I was wondering how they
were. I'll tell you the story I'm just going to tell you. Is my own experience. I was out there with the tobacco company. And we had, up in Shantung province, we had rented a place. We had a 99-year lease on it, which I didn't think anything of. It was too long. We had, as a banker up there, a Chinese by the name of Chun Fu Tong. Now, Chun had lived too close to the Gobi Desert for years. And he had sucked so much Gobi dust Gobi Desert dust into his body and lungs, and it spread to his brain, and Chun dusted on the dumb side. But he was loyal and did what he could. I kept him on as our banker. We had to have a little bank to pay off the farmers when we bought tobacco. So Chun did a very good job for a while. But he had relatives that were, well, if they weren't exactly bandits themselves, they were mixed up with the bandits. So Chun kept getting a little short. I'd give him a few days to make it up and tell my compadre to be on the lookout for another banker, because it looked like Chun was going to hold out very much longer. So I walked out one morning, and I saw a lot of farmers standing around that had their little slips to take to the bank to get paid for the tobacco that we had bought. I sent for Chun immediately and asked him why I hadn't been paid. And he said, it's a little short, the money hadn't come in. He had sent to Sing Tao for it. I'd give him a check in advance. Well, the money didn't come in. So I sent for the magistrate over there at the Shin Court. And told him it looked like Chun had stolen some money from him. He said, well, we can fix that, and yes. So give him another day to get it up. I said, I'll give him two more days. He says, all right, fine. I gave him two more days. He couldn't get the money. So I told Matthew, he stole $6,000. And if we couldn't get it back, well, wanted the Chinese court to handle it and get as much of it back as he could. So Master said he'd see what he could do. In the meantime, he sent some soldiers over there to guard the place so Chun couldn't run away. In the meantime, I was stopped buying tobacco. But He sent over and got carried him over to his little jail, this little shin, and I was a place shin den, but we didn't have a court there. It was a Shinchi Shin, a little west of there. They took him over there, and well, it was getting cold. Get cold up there in Shantung. We were back up in the interior, not too far from San Anfu, on the Galaxy Railway. So the master talked to him a little rough and said, "I'll get your money for you." They locked him up in jail and the jailers there, is their custom, demand money from the prisoners. So they demanded some money. Chun wouldn't pay him anything. So they wouldn't give him any, bedclothes. I knew nothing about this. So the old fellow froze to death in jail. He wasn't really such a bad fellow. His family brought this on him. But I felt very sorry for him. Master sent for me to come over there, and I raced over there. He said, "Well," says, "the old man died." I said, "What was the trouble with him when he died?" He said, "He froze to death." He said he wouldn't give the jail any money. He said they wouldn't give him any warm clothes or bed to sleep on. I said he just froze. I said, "Well, I'm very sorry to hear that." He said, "Well, what are we going to do? What can we do about it? What can you do about it? Here's me." And I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "In our country, when a person dies, we bury him." He said, "Well, his family doesn't seem to have any money. None of them seem to have any money. And being as he's been with your company for some 8 or 10 years,
would you bury?"
I said, "How much it cost?"
He said, "Well, it cost $100 to $200. Now, that's Chinese money. So I said, "All right." So I told my comrade over there, Chow Han Ching, I said, give him a couple of $100 to bury. So I gave him $200 to bury the old fella. I thought it was all over. But about 2 weeks later, Magic came to see me. And he said, "That old fella's got a lot of relatives, a lot of influence over there, around Weixin. And he said, "That just about enough to hire the mourners." And I said, "Well," I said, "it looks like to me that if our company has lost $6,000 and paid a couple of $100 to bury this old fella, that would be enough for us to lose." Matthew said, "Oh, he's been with y'all a long time. He said, he's made money up here. He says, this is the only time he ever really stole from you." I said, "All right. Get out of there." Anyway, old fellow froze to death over there, and I put him in the jail. So I said, "How much more will it take to
said, well, I think $300 this time. Well, I paid the $300. And lo and behold, in a week's time, he came back and wanted $400. So, I got the Commodore in there. Some witnesses. And they got the old magistrate to say, that would be the last of it. I'd never hear from it anymore. So I paid him another $400. Well, our company was very reasonable about something like that. I mean, anything I wanted to spend, I could spend. But the chums, wife and her son, and his son's wife, moved in and took possession of our place we had rented there at Wei Shin. We had rather a nice place there for buying tobacco. I didn't use it because I didn't like the
quality of the tobacco growing around there. I like it well west, far up in the hill there, towards Jenin. Well, they started to raise the dickens. The old woman found out that nothing she could do.
So she went out there and jumped in the well and committed suicide. And then her son and son's wife and they by that time found out it was kind of easy to get money out of our company. Didn't attack us directly, not me directly. But they accused my comprador, Chao Han Ching, of throwing this old woman in the well. Well, there was no truth in it. But